So let's do a quick review. So last week we covered 36, 37, 38, three verses, right? So let's read just the English translation.
Just taking
36, 37.
Thank you. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune, and how could we be happy killing our own kinsmen?
So this is second reason, right?
Yeah.
So it's not... No. Is it second reason?
Third
this
reason.
Is,
no.
Third reason. Right.
Sinful reactions. Third reason.
This third reason. So, what's the first reason?
Compassion.
Second reason?
No happiness.
Third reason we covered last week, sinful reactions.
Yes.
So, we can read 37.
Okay. Oh, Janardana, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarrelling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin?
So what's the definition of sin we discussed last week?
Fault.
Definition of sin.
Lord's instruction.
By disobeying Krishna's instruction.
Yeah. So disobeying the laws of God. Instructions or instructions, yeah. And what was Arjuna's confusion? He was confused, right? He was talking about dharma.
Dharma shastra and artha shastra. He was getting confused.
So why? Yeah. So what was his confusion on that? In this particular verse, we discussed
his definition of sin. What is sin?
Sin. So
as per the scriptures, right?
Yes.
Okay, which is like the poison giver to kill all those people.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, which is
so that we'll come to that next. So other thing we discussed was relative morality. So Arjuna was talking on the relative morality, right? He was thinking, you know, if I kill, I will get a sin. But what's the absolute morality?
Whatever Krishna says is the absolute morality.
Yes. So he was forgetting Krishna's order. And he was acting on relative morality. Relative morality is based on individual. It changes, right? Based on the time, circumstances, place, it changes. And the example we gave was, for example, the food habits or even the dressing style in US. It, for this community, here, this people, it's good. But in India, if you go eat the same thing what they eat here or the dress the way they dress here, so that's not considered proper society. So it's a relative morality. One, it changes by place, right? Person, everything. But the absolute morality, like for example, instructions of Bhagavad Gita, it remains same. Whichever place you go, any time, any circumstances, it's the same instructions. We cannot change. So that's absolute morality. And the other thing we discussed was the aggressors, right? So the six aggressors. So that also we covered, and it's in the purport.
By the way, you should know the six aggressors for the exam. Like, what are the six types of aggressors? Then there was some discussion about like two shastras, they are conflicting. Then Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra. So what does Artha Shastra say?
Artha Shastra says that
aggressors should be killed. Dharma Shastra says forgive the saintly and elder person. So what is Arjuna choosing?
Dharma Shastra.
Dharma Shastra. Because it's anyway higher than Artha Shastra. Okay. And why does Arjuna address Krishna as Madhava, husband of goddess of fortune?
Because he was talking about misfortune, and we are with him. You can't bring misfortune.
So Krishna, don't bring misfortune to me. Yeah. And in the next verse, what are the two main points, main arguments Arjuna is giving?
Family tradition will be destroyed.
No, one is about greed.
Shastri gets to hear that last agreement.
Yeah, he's saying that Kauravas want to fight the war and get the kingdom out of their greed. But we know better. That's why he uses the word we, right? So we should not act out of greed. So why should I even fight the war? That's one point he's making. And the second point he was making was that that's the purport in Prabhupada says that, yeah, results. Mm. What
results.
Is
the results will be evil.
Evil. So, a Kshatriya when challenged for a war or a gamble, is only obliged to take it up only when the result is good. But here the result is evil, so Arjuna, if he not doesn't take up the challenge, he is not considered, you know, like a cowardly. Oh. Mm. So these are the two reasons in this purport. And then we talked about three gates to hell, lust, anger and greed.
So we'll go to text 39. Let's recite together Sanskrit words.
Kulakshay pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanam dharme nashta kulam krishnam adharmo abhibhavati uttah.
Kulakshay
pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanam dharme nashte kulam krishnam adharmo abhibhavati uttah.
With the destruction of the dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion.
So starting from 37, which could also be classified as sin, but that's the fourth reason. Destruction of family tradition. So here Arjuna is going to give a series of, you know, like cause and effect principles. So first, destruction of family tradition, because of that women will be polluted, because of that there will be irreligious population, because of that, you know, there will not be pious shraddha ceremonies, everything for the elders. So they also go to sin and the elders also
suffer
in the hellish planet. So it gives systematically logical sequence of degradation from starting from verse 37. So which is destruction of family tradition. That's the fourth reason. Okay.
In the system of the Varnashrama institution, there are many principles of religious traditions to help members of the family grow properly and attain spiritual values. The elder members are responsible for such purifying processes in the family, beginning from birth to death. But on the death of the elder members, such family traditions of purification may stop and the remaining younger family members may develop irreligious habits and thereby lose their chance for spiritual salvation. Therefore, for no purpose should the elder members of the family be slain. Mm.
So Arjuna is saying Kulakshaya is in the destruction of the family. What will happen is Kula Dharma will be pranashyati. Kula Dharma pranashyati means Kula Dharma, the family traditions will be vanquished, means stopped. So when the elderly members of the family are destroyed, then family tradition will not continue. Because usually that's how elders teach to the youngers, that's how the tradition continues. So he's saying it is not going to be there. But what is the real tradition he's talking about? That's a significant point here. So the Kula Dharma is right now. What Arjuna is saying is according to Varnashrama Dharma. According to Varnashrama Dharma, there are certain, you know, as different Varnas, different Ashramas supposed to do certain duties. So that is the Kula Dharma. But these days, it's completely concocted and generally it's somewhere down, up, actually some ancestor changes something and everybody follows and they say it's Kula Dharma now. So in the lecture Prabhu was telling, like, one person comes and complains, like, oh, in our family tradition, like, in such and such festival we have to eat meat, and if you don't eat meat, then, you know, such and such devatas will get angry. So my parents are saying, why are you, you know, causing us suffering? Because you are stopping the kula dharma.
Have you heard that word very popular? I'm from one of the families like that. So we have something called home god. No, every family has kula devi or kula devi. So like that. So I'm also from that family. But here it says kula dharma is based on varnashrama system. It should not be based on each family or something. So right now, if you see, right, we have this tradition of, for example, this, right, killing. In our village, we have yearly once. They say, everybody says it's their family tradition where they kill the
all animals,
chickens,
are
all these
and
things.
Yeah.
They kill the goats, all those things they kill. So it's a concocted, right? If you see, we don't know when it was started, how many years, which generation, we don't know. But it's nowhere there is scriptural reference, or it's not built on any spiritual principles. It's just concocted at some point, but now it looks like it's a tradition, it's a kula dharma, it's become a kula dharma. But here it's said the kula dharma should be based on varnashrama system. For example, Brahmanas, what's the kula dharma of Brahmanas?
Impart knowledge.
Impart knowledge. They have to study scriptures and they have to impart the knowledge. So same way Kshatriya. Kshatriya's duty is to protect and administration, right? They have to administer the society. But here, full concoction, right? You can see it's not even... because whenever you go talk to any... Even when I talk to my like elders, family member, they say, no, we cannot stop this because it has come in a tradition. And there is no reference anywhere. So that means it's a concoction. So we cannot fall. The other thing is, it was very interesting, I didn't know. So, Ganapati, this thing, right? Procession and all we take.
Yeah.
Do you know about the story when it was started? Do you have anybody idea?
For independence, it was started so that everyone can gather and then this.
Yes. So, Ganapati puja was never there in the tradition. Even if you go back, I think, 100 years or whatever, independence or before that. So, it was never there.
Lokmanya Tilak started that, right?
Yeah. So politicians to bring people together, because that's so only when you tell God, then only people come together. Otherwise you cannot bring people together. It's very difficult to bring them together. So that's when the politicians, they started this festival. So if Ganesha festival means, what do you usually notice? Things. I have very good experience, I can tell. So what do you see if you have you seen the street? Yearly once they do it on the street, right? They put a big pandal. They do the Ganesha thing. Bombay is very popular. So what happens usually in that festival? We say Ganesha festival, but what happens in that?
They sing, they
dance. The collection, what you are
saying? So it starts with the collection of money. It's a group of people, they come together. They start with the collection of the money. Then the next thing they do is, they usually do 3 days or 7 days festival. This is my personal experience because I was grown up in that community. So first day they do the orchestra. Have you heard of orchestra?
Yeah.
On the street they call them band players.
Yeah.
The only first song will be on Ganesha.
To start with,
they do with Ganesha Puja.
Yeah.
But after that, it's all about movie songs and
local.
Even they copy some Western music and all. Now it's all become electronic. They do all the keys and all.
Yeah.
Then the second they do is, on the street, they put a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Big screen to show the movie.
Mm.
It's Ganesha is in the background. He is, you know, they put him in the all the way in the back in the tent.
He has to get some donation when people come, right? They give donation.
So the third day is, everybody, most of them, they get drunk because they have to dance in the front of the procession. So they do that. So this is what happened. And this is what the future generation... If our kids or if somebody, right, if they see this one, so this, they think this is what our, you know, tradition has come, Vedic tradition. And they give up. After some time, oh, this is all, you know, it doesn't make sense. The people are, one way the Bhagavad Gita says something, and the other way it's all, you know, it's a different, it doesn't match. So then, so we are basically setting a wrong impression on our, whatever, the Vedic culture, how it has come. So that's one very popular this thing.
Yeah, another incident was our friend, he used to attend earlier Bhakti Bhiksha when it was with Sundara and Prabhu. So recently he used to come and attend Bhakti Gita with some batch. and they got married, and after that, like, wife, everything, pregnant and everything, and for some time they were not coming. So we asked, okay, what happened, why you're not coming? They once, every, at least Sunday they come. Then they told, it seems in our family, our grandfather or?
Grandmother.
Grandmother passed away, and they told for 1 year she not go to temple. So
that's true. Certain see yeah. because they yeah, yeah. No, there are lot of places. That's true. 1 year you can't go to temples because it's considered very
yeah,
inauspicious.
Yeah, you can't have to celebrate. Right?
You
yeah.
can't celebrate, and you don't.
And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
But actually,
no. That's why. Where did it start?
We don't
from?
Know. We should find the scriptural
yeah.
reference
okay.
for these. Because if you look at essence, right, we
yeah.
don't, if you look at the essence, service to Krishna, no, or Vishnu form is, brings all auspiciousness.
Yeah.
It overrides everything actually.
So, there, what I was hearing is that, this is what I was explained. So previously and all, there used to be, when people passed away, right, it used to be about some unknown disease and all that, right. Then what happens is that, you are in the vicinity of that, and then you go to a public place or public
oh.
congregation, then there is a chance that you could spread
yeah.
it, right? Because what do we do here is that we start touching
yes,
objects
yes.
that many other people
right,
touch
right,
in the
right,
public
right.
place.
So that's why they
yeah.
said, okay, stay back. That's why if you see that 13th day, that's why they used to do that. So for my father, I used to do every day when my father passed away
yeah.
for 10 days. I could not go out, I could not do anything, so from the ghat to this thing and back, that's it.
Mm.
Only after the 13th day,
yeah.
so that way you are at least not spreading the disease.
Yes, yes.
That's the idea, and that's where they start doing
yeah.
that.
So the problem is,
yeah.
see that reasoning, everything makes sense at that time, right? If there is a disease, definitely you don't want to. If you have cold also, they say you stay home, work from home rather than coming to office.
Right.
But now what happened is people forget the reason. All they know is, this is a tradition that 1 year we have to stay away.
Right.
So that only remains.
So that's what we are passing on.
That's why kids
Nobody
will challenge.
That they should, right? No, even when, see, luckily when I asked my father, they say, I don't know. So I used to do, but for my son, I ask, if you don't understand, you should ask. Otherwise, don't follow
mm.
blindly. That's
yes.
bad.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah.
Another example that I saw, like in a few months back, there was some eclipse and temple was open. But in like India, from childhood, I
yes.
saw that if there is eclipse, temple will be closed.
Mm.
Even the 12 hours before, not even.
And they will also not.
And it will open after a few hours, like not immediately.
Yeah.
And there has not to eat and all for certain hours of the day.
But that doesn't mean every tradition has been lost like a comforter away. There,
yeah, we have
there,
to find.
Definitely,
yes,
there are certain things
find.
Which
yeah.
is. There is a right reason why it was being followed and it
has
been continued.
So,
but
that,
some has been
modified
in a certain
yes.
way.
Yes.
Modified.
Yes. Change. Yes.
So
lot of
we have to figure out what are, that's why, you know, in the lecture Prabhu was saying, Kula Dharma Pranashyati, Arjuna is saying, right, it's destroyed. But this kind of concocted Kula Dharma, if it's destroyed, it's better actually. But not the real one according to Varnashrama Dharma. So how do we identify? We can't go and research, right? Oh, what is really... So we can take the essence. Essence is whatever brings us closer to Krishna is auspicious. So based on that, we can consider, is this activity, you know, by following it or not following it, am I coming closer to Krishna?
So the
like
one
is,
they...
is it bringing me closer to devotees and Krishna? Then it's all auspicious. If it's not, then it's not.
But it is like a huge difference in like understanding like whatever I saw from... In India, it's even if I will talk this with 100 people, 100 people will agree. Not even single will disagree.
Yeah.
Okay, we should not close temple during...
Yeah.
Just one example.
Yeah.
So why this is that big difference? Like it's really upside down, right? In whole concept. All temples are getting closed, but as per Bhagavad Gita, no need to close. So why is this like big difference? I really don't know.
So basically there is two process, right? It's pure devotional service. The Bhagavad Gita, everything, you know, it talks mostly about pure devotional service. And the other thing is all Karmakanda section Vedas. So most of the people, they try to stick to the Karmakanda process. When you follow that process, yes, those things apply. Do whatever temple closing. I don't know exactly the references. What you can do, I don't know the all things. But lot of things, for example, Shraddha ceremony, right? You need to do. It's recommended.
For a
you should do.
For a
yeah, you have to do Shraddha ceremony, right? You have to do that ceremony.
Yes.
But other we'll discuss,
yeah,
that.
We'll discuss that.
But when the when you take up to the pure devotional service, you don't need to do all those things.
So we'll come to the next
purport.
We'll
but that's a big difference, right? Lot of majority of the people follow that, and we after some point we tell you don't have to do. You just do the pure devotional service.
See, because we have discussed several times that pure devotional service to Krishna is directly addressing the root. So you don't have to serve. If you put water to the root, then automatically leaves, branches, everything is nourished. So all these obligations and things to we have discussed in that verse, right? About obligations to our ancestors, you know,
it's
our family members, all these obligations are automatically fulfilled. It doesn't mean we become irresponsible, right? But we do all our duties in context of Krishna, Krishna consciousness.
Actually,
so,
if you are doing... Sorry.
Prabhu, one second.
Yeah.
So, regarding this point, so why these things are prevalent is, as Prabhu is saying, according to the normal, generally, these things affect, especially for non-devotees, these things affect because material modes and nature are going to act accordingly during the, let's say, what is it, eclipse or something, material modes are going to act like that. But devotees are considered above the modes. So that's why they don't get affected. That's why, for, and especially they are doing devotional service, so it doesn't matter. Another practical example I can give you is that when we both were getting married, so, one of the senior devotees whom we respect a lot, like he suggested that we should go to Jyotishya and check, you know, whether we match the profile so that we, you know, we can check what to do and all.
That's a very common practice.
So, and then he told that you should go to odd number of, so you know you'll get either odd number of Jyotishya, so you know concretely whether it's yes or no. Even means then again you'll be confused. So, we went to three and we went to five. So, I think three of them said no, or two of them said yes, or whatever, and gave so many details. And you go into those details, you get lost. Then you keep thinking, oh, is this all going to happen? Is this going to work out? So much. Then Prabhu also, and I was also anxious, like, oh, what is this? Before that, we were all happy because we knew, okay, our goal is Krishna consciousness. No, we don't know. Whatever happens in future, we are going to stay together to serve Krishna. That's what's so simple. But when we heard all this, it's like, oh, what if this happens, that happens, or whatever. Then finally, Prabhu went to Harilas Prabhu and he asked. So, Prabhu, Jyotishya, we are supposed to consult, and this is what we got the report, and we don't know now what to do. Then he said, okay, what is your goal? Is your goal, Krishna, what is your goal? If your goal is material sense gratification, you need to consider Jyotishya, all these things, because they are going to affect you.
It's effect, it works.
But if your goal is Krishna consciousness, these things don't affect you. These are just an indicators. Of course, like for example, Jyotishya, they will say you may get accident at certain such age, time, or so you can be careful avoiding that thing, right? You can take this as an indication, but not like, you know, blindly only that and nothing else, because we know Krishna overrides everything else. We are directly serving Krishna. So, and then similarly, our Guru Maharaj also came, and then he met Prabhu, and then he immediately approved, and then he told that I recommend that you both get engaged when I'm here. And then he also asked at that time, like, what about Jyotishya? They are confused. He said, no, these are just milestones. Like, it will tell. Like, milestones means, you know, in 5 miles, this
landmarks
is going to happen. Landmarks. After 5 miles, this is going to happen. Just some indications. But that can use to be guided, but that should not be taken as absolute. Because these days, there is no proper, you know, bona fide Jyotishya. Jyotishyas are supposed to be very pure, and they're supposed to know how to read everything. So if we just go by them, then everything is, your life will become mess. So that's what he told, and anyway, now seems like it's working, right? So many years we are still together. So that's the point, basically. Hopefully it brings the point home. See, if our goal is to serve Krishna, then these things don't apply. That's the next purport.
We'll
Prabhupada very, very directly and very clearly says, that's what gives the prominence of pure devotional service when compared to all other mundane duties or activities we need to do. It's way apart. Pure devotional service is completely outstanding.
So if you see, right, for example, Kula, we spoke about Kula Dharma. So we can, you know, practically we think, so the system was working some point of time, right? As you know, it was working. So if you take few generation back, any festival means it's a grand celebration, right? At home, we used to put, you know, for Yugadi particularly, whole house clean, decoration, full festivities. Then, you know, that's a major event. Then my father time came, so then they reduced the standard slowly. Now then instead of doing it for old day, they just used to do it in the evening. Right? I have seen, I'm pretty sure you would have observed in this is a very... Then now, current thing, they don't even do anything at home. They say, let's just go to temple maybe for 5 minutes, that should be enough. No, it's a practical. How Kuladharma was, how it was before, everybody, you know, used to follow, whole society used to be very festivity. Now, you know, it's kind of slowly, it's degrading. How it, so at some point of time, we lose the things if we don't, you know, if you don't pass on. So the responsibility of the elders, as in the purport said, the elders are responsible to pass on the same Kula Dharma to the next generation.
Yeah, one nice incident we noticed during Velkudi Krishnan Prabhu when he came to give classes. So Prabhu was observing something and he was sharing later that he saw many families coming in. Kids, they were driving and then...
Yeah, I was doing the parking service outside.
So kids, they were driving, elders, they were coming. And then I was thinking, oh, kids also, you know, elders are bringing kids to this program, so it's very nice. But then later he told, kids, they come, they drop the elders here and they go. And then they come back to pick them up.
Because I asked three cars, right? Oh, just a friendly way. No, are you going to come back? This just like that. Are you going to come back? They are like, no, I just came to drop my parents. So it's lost. The link is getting lost there only. It doesn't go to the next generation.
The thing is that there are two things, right? I will tell you my personal viewpoint. Way like almost five, six years back, when the temple was just like a small hut, I came here, my wife's friend was here just behind. She was like, hey, there's a temple there, you must go. Ah, you go. I'll be here, I'll be talking to him, you go and come. And she, my wife and said, hey, it's a very nice temple, you must go. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Then, after the temple was built, again I came for somebody's birthday, I'm like, whatever, man. Yeah. But then, something clicked somewhere, right? Something that has to change internally.
Yes.
Then it all starts falling into place.
Yes.
Till that point, you know, no matter what happens, it's just there.
Yeah.
Everybody, that thing will click because you search for something everywhere, you don't find it.
Yeah.
Then you actually have to go to the place where it's there.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, there are two things in that, like, you know, samskaras, the one you carry the samskaras, and also your karma, what we have done. So Krishna gives the opportunity at right interval. So for everybody he gives the chance.
We are also following the, how, like here in temple, for example, how the process of worshipping.
Yes.
We are not qualified to go and touch the deities,
no,
right?
That's
no.
Or there is a proper systematic way of the complete worshipping.
Yes.
That also has been explained in the Vedic.
Yeah,
system.
It's a pancharatra system.
Yeah.
That's how the deity worship is.
And the same thing
is
also we do in different temple. In
yes.
all over the India,
yeah.
at least the big temple which
yes,
you
yes,
think
yes,
about.
Yes, yeah.
So it's not like devotional service is entirely different from what we have been doing, practicing from like
thousands of years. No, it's there. That's why there is some karmakanda process. For example, Durga and all, right, in Bengal and all, they offer animals, right? They kill. So that's there in the karmakanda process. It's approved.
It's in the Vedas.
You have to offer, it's in the Vedas. You have to offer and then you have to eat. It's
so
approved.
At one point, like about this eclipse thing, because definitely there has to be some reason when there is an eclipse, ocean, it changes its behavior also. Then
yes.
there will be like bigger wave
yes.
or something
yes.
happens.
Yes.
So when we have 75% of the water in our body,
yes.
lot of things changes in our body also. That's the reason why it was suggested not to eat something at that point of time, because it will have a very different, which we can't directly see, but there is certain things that goes on in your body
yeah.
also. So it's like a scientific way of, there is, you cannot deny all these moon, sun, all the anything. It's like,
no, stars
this,
work. They act, stars act, yeah, on the body.
No,
yes.
That's, the point is, like, they will act, that's why I'm saying, they will act, but especially for non-devotees. Devotees, because they eat prasadam,
yes.
prasadam
eat
itself
porn.
Is transcendental.
See,
right? Prasadam is transcendental, means all this ocean, these things don't affect it. So when you eat it, you don't get affected.
So basically, there are three modes. Material nature
then
means...
Why you doing, Ekadashi then? Because you can yeah. become the devotee, then I don't need to do anything. I can eat prasad, any prasad, I can eat.
No, yeah, it's, that's why it's in the process. It's in the devotion. Like Pancharatraka
yeah.
system, Ekadashi means
Ekadashi is one of
that's the day where all the, what do you say, the
grain.
Sin, the sin. Personified, it stays in the grain. So it's in the process. So we need to, that's why it's not this, devotee means you cannot do anything you want. It's in the Pancharatraka system, you need to follow the system.
Pancharatraka,
that's a standard book that everybody follows for the deity worship.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to follow, that's why it's, devotional service means not, you know, you can do whatever you like to do. You need to follow the instruction and the guidance. It's always should be under the guidance.
See, the point is, wherever you are following somebody.
Yeah.
See, if you are not a devotee, then you have to follow all these things. So-called whatever society made or it's really from Vedas or some whatever, you have to follow. If you are a devotee, then you have to follow properly exactly what devotional service is given.
Yes.
Coming from Narada, through current disciplic succession, whatever is given. And how much it's given according to the time, place and circumstances here, we need to follow that. Then otherwise you are neither here nor there. You are not getting the benefit of devotee. And by giving the excuse, at the same time you are getting reactions also by not following that. So
actually, when I'm asking questions, it's not like to question the devotion part. No, not at all. Like what you said about the Ganesh Puja, how the celebration, there's a conclusion way, like something happened at some point of time. And later on, people would think that Ganesh Puja is all about movie song and all.
Yeah,
like that,
it happens.
Like that. So like when we celebrate Janmashtami, we are celebrating on the same day. Likewise, the Ratha Yatra has to be celebrated on the
yes.
particular day.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Particularly in America or any other, we can
yes.
understand
yes.
that the circumstances doesn't
yes.
allow us to celebrate the same thing, like Ratha Yatra, on the same particular day.
Yes.
That I can understand. But don't you think, later on people would think, oh, any day I can do this thing.
No, you can, for example, this places you can do. See, again you have to see the what's the essence of doing, okay, we are doing Ratha Yatra here, but what's the essence?
What's the purpose?
What's the purpose of Ratha Yatra?
Who is the beneficiary?
Definitely that is there, like when you compare in that point, that essence will always be there if it is celebrated on that particular day.
No.
The essence won't be lost if it is celebrated on Ratha Yatra. Janmashtami, if it will be celebrated on like a week after, a week before, the essence will always be there, but there has to be some reason why the particular day has some importance, like Ekadashi has a day like importance.
No,
on that.
That's true. That's why it's in the scriptures why Ekadashi is done every alternate week. It's
it
there. Yeah, it's there. That's why whatever we follow, if everything is as a standard. We are not creating any standard. It's already there in the system. We are just trying to follow it. And sometimes, for example, here, right? Krishna Janmashtami, we celebrate for 3 days. Why do we do that? 3 days.
But definitely it is in that time period. It's not like month before, month after.
No,
or
no,
some
no.
Random.
We don't do that. We don't do that.
That is how, like Ratha Yatra also. It also has some importance.
It should. But here if you see the time again, you have to see the
but
time
that
and this
I understand,
thing.
But
that's the reason they do.
That's
practically you should
for
see.
Practical nature.
See, there is one guy,
the
Ratha Yatra, you came, there is one person who sets up all the tents, everything. And he is the only person who has a big truck who goes from place to place.
All the circumstances when I come
yeah.
there, and it's actually a lot better if you compare the panda how they behave in temple, in Puri temple, and when the, like the Haribala's Prabhu is like devotion, what it has brought here, it's like in the, just for the sake of not argument but like comparing things, I'm putting this point, but
yeah, yeah.
otherwise I can certainly believe like oh, what he has taken everything to like that level, and devotion only can do that.
Yeah. No, anyway, that's why the you should always see the essence.
Yeah.
And the essence is it helping people, is it
bringing
people closer to Krishna, is that's the essence. If you are doing Ratha Yatra maybe after a month after Jagannath Ratha Puri Yatra, and if you are not doing the right way, if you are doing something else which is making people go away, then
that's
even
not.
I will not go to the, I will not even go and help in the celebrating that festival.
Correct.
So first we should always think, we should always see the essence of what we do and see is it bringing people closer to Krishna or taking away from Krishna. And the main point in all devotional service in this Krishna consciousness is any activity you take, this is kind of a, they say it's kind of a magnifying thing, glass. No, it's like a magnifying glass, this one. So any activity you take, you see through this one magnifying thing, you always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Any activity you take, if that activity makes you remember Krishna all the time and makes you never forget Krishna, that means that is, it works. That you should take that process. Anything, if you do Jagannath Ratha Yatra after a month, if that makes you remember Krishna, brings closer to Krishna, it's okay. There is nothing wrong. It may be because of the circumstances or the time or the place, they would have changed the time. But if that makes, if it works, you should take it. So you should always remember that one. That's the higher, we'll discuss later, once after all the Bhagavad Gita, that's the main thing.
But
that's
the, it has to be also prescribed in the scriptures. It has, should be mentioned in the scriptures.
Yes.
So it sounds like the scripture, it has been mentioned that, okay, as long as the essence is there, you can do it.
Yes.
If you are following that particular essence,
yes,
it doesn't,
yes,
matter in what.
Yeah, you, whatever you do, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
The ceremonies also, even if you do, they are tailored in such a way, such that it goes only to Krishna. Because, for example, in the Shraddha ceremony, right, you start off with what is called Achanyam.
Udaka.
Yeah, so we say, Achyudayanama, Anantayanama, Govindayanama, then
Krishna.
Then, every time where you have
three
for
times,
your father and your parents or father, and then your grandfather, then great grandfather,
yes,
and then there is something called Mahavishnu thing. Every time you do those three, the fourth one
will
fall.
We'll come to that. There is one,
yeah,
particularly one verse about that. That's very scientific process actually.
Yeah.
We will discuss that one.
So
any question on that one?
So we had
it
so
was
many
a long
discussion.
So Kula Dharma is, that's what. So it's dharma of each family member according to Varnashrama system. It should be followed by each family member. The ideal, whatever that ideal Kula Dharma. So let's go to text 40.
But again, you said that Varnashrama or the Kula Dharma is based on the individual characteristics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not based on the family.
Yeah.
Means your family means usually it's, you'll have the same nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it, if you're really following the Varnashrama system, that usually that's what the act, it will be ideal, it will be like that, nature will
but
be the same.
Prabhu, by implication, aren't you saying that then Varnashrama is hereditary?
It's concocted now, most, now means everything get mixed now. Otherwise, you cannot, it's not hereditary, it's by nature.
Right.
But if you follow perfectly, that means it will be, like for example, I don't know, like if you say, if you follow all the samskaras, right, all this thing, then usually that nature stays in your family, like you will be
like
the
your
same.
Kids also will be devotionally inclined, everything.
If your devotion, if you follow all the samskaras, everything nicely, you know what is it called, like garbhadhar samskara. There are, from birth to death there are samskaras. If you follow each one, for example, you are a devotional person, you are a very spiritual person, you follow all this, basically your kid also will be born a spiritual person. So that means the nature will be the same. If you are not doing, you are because of your parents you got some samskaras. And your point, you are breaking all the samskaras, you are not doing anything. That means the Varnashrama system is already broken there. That means your generation will be different, they will have a different Varna. They will be confused. Of course, it's not hereditary, it's by nature. But the nature depends on all the samskaras and all, what we do.
Adharma vibhavat
Krishna
pradushyanti
kulastriya
Sri Shuddha Subhachaniya
Jayate Varna Shankara.
Adharma
vibhavat Krishna
pradushyanti
kulastriya
Sri Shuddha Subhachaniya
Jayate Varna Shankara.
When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the woman of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny.
So here the next sequence, right? First is family, elderly members are destroyed, then family tradition is vanquished. Now, when family tradition is vanquished, then women of the family become polluted. Because of that, what will happen is unwanted progeny, unwanted children, next generation. So it's like you can, you know, draw this state diagram you can give. What Arjuna is giving?
Yeah, it's one by logical, right?
Logical.
So he's following logical sequence.
And he is following the Dharma Shastra in order to explain all of this?
I don't know which Shastra. But this is all...
but these are facts.
These are facts. Exactly. Yeah, this is correct.
This is
leaving
Shastra,
these are correct ones.
Correct.
These are, you know, it's a logical thing actually.
Logical,
it's giving you a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, if this happens, yes, this is going to happen like this, exactly. Whatever he's saying, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why in the purport, Prabhupada supports that argument. He says, right now in society, this is not followed, that's why it's happening. That's why we'll see now.
So currently, you see this one. If this
so
is happening, you can apply.
The fifth reason is like degradation of womanhood or unwanted progeny.
No, fifth reason is
indecision.
That's going to come in next chapter.
Sorry, sorry,
four. This is four.
Fourth reason is degradation of family.
Degradation of
family. Which includes all of this. Includes all of this. It's a sequence of so many verses. Okay, okay.
But
does
it actually happen? Like, Krishna said, Arjuna said so many things, bad things are going to happen. All bad elderly, like all elderly people.
Yeah.
And he killed all the elderly people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And none of it happened.
Because Krishna tells at the end that, actually Krishna defeats all this reasoning. He tells, by not fighting the war, you are going to cause unwanted progeny. He will give the reasoning in later chapters.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll, when we go there, we'll. That's a secret. You should come.
After war. All these
exactly. Nothing happened. Because it's under Krishna's. Whatever Krishna does is going to be auspicious for everyone.
Generally, how we think is what Arjuna is saying.
Yeah.
But right now, of course, we are discussing what Arjuna's point of view.
Yeah.
We are discussing. So, we are supporting his discussion also. We are supporting. And Prabhupada is supporting his arguments. Later, we'll see what Krishna, how he defeats all this. For us, if you see, this is correct things.
This
Arjuna
is basic
right
morality.
Thing.
For
this
us,
is a morality.
Minimum bar. We need to at least
right.
reach this.
Yeah, this is a morality.
But beyond that
morality.
Is complete surrender to Krishna. So that's what Krishna brings Arjuna to.
So that's why there is a different steps, right? We went through Karmakanda process, then gradually we come to... of course,
Krishna,
there are many steps.
Karma Yoga.
Sakama, Karma Yoga, like that. But then finally we reach the pure devotion. So Krishna talks about only the pure devotion service. But
and
these
all
are
all these are like the Karma Kanda piece, right?
Yeah.
Karma Kanda, yeah, this is a morality,
so
right? Basic
system,
morality. Varnashrama system, it's at one level.
Mm.
It's at one level. But this will also gradually, if you follow, it will elevate you to the devotional service, pure devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good population in human society is a basic principle for peace, prosperity and spiritual progress in life.
So what do you mean by good population? How do you measure good population? Just what do you say? If I say good population, what do you think about good population? What do you want to say? Characteristic of the
good morals and
or they follow religion.
Religious.
But the religion and regulated principle basically. That makes the good community.
Yeah.
No,
that's what good population means. They should be cultured. Right? Basically following religion. If you are following religion, that means you are a cultured person. And other one is, everybody gets good education. They are well educated. Means everybody knows about the scriptures, shastras, what to do, everything. Right? So that's a good population.
But the Muslim also says they follow religion, right? So that doesn't make like good community.
I was just going to open that
can. It's not about the Muslim. In general term, I'm saying.
See, Prabhupada said Christianity, Muslim, everything is a very bona fide religions. They are bona fide religion. He says actually in one term, you know, they are all different messengers, like Prophet Muhammad.
And Christ.
Christ, Jesus. They are
son
all messengers. And Jesus only says he's son of God. Right? So who is the God? Like, you know, they are bona fide. Prabhupada very clearly says Muslim is bona fide, Christian is bona fide. But
God changed.
What happened? We don't know. That anyway, they only don't believe a lot of things. Like they fight in themselves. That's why they have different versions, so many things. But yeah, they are bona fide if they follow it. Actually, and Prabhupada says there are many people who follow it. It's not that nobody follows. There are people who follow that also. Very, you know, authentic way they follow. So they are also good.
The Varnashrama religion's principle were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Such population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood.
Yeah, see this, this is like crucial thing about this discussion. The whole population and the society depends on chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. So actually the protection of women is so fundamental for the well-being of the society. Actually, it's said that woman is cornerstone for the society. So that's what we are going to discuss most of it today to enlighten that point. Let's see.
So here they talk, sorry.
Yes.
They said the Varnashrama is a religion.
Varnashrama, religious, religion's principles.
Yeah, Varnashrama is the Sanatana.
I mean the way you should live.
Yeah, it's a way of life which the essence of which is to gradually make us come closer to God. So in the real essence, religion is nothing but one which connects to
God. But it's not only religion itself.
See,
religion, I know it's like the general definition of religion is like, you know, maybe of a certain set of principles.
Exactly.
Laws of God. Or
so Varnashrama also is that set of principles,
yes,
which gives,
yeah, we have principles
helps
like
you in the devotion.
Yes. We have principles of brahmachari, no, all
Varna, four varnas plus four ashramas.
There are different rules.
Eight.
And their duties and what they are supposed to do. See, for example, sannyasis, they are not supposed to earn. Brahmacharis are not supposed to earn. Like that. They can take charity. They can accept charity and like that. There are, but grihasthas are supposed to support. They can earn because their family they have to maintain, but they can support the other ashramas. And grihasthas can bring forth next generation. Like that.
We'll discuss, there is a lot more discussion in the other verses.
As children are
very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. By being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery.
So usually, you know, because it says women needs protection, right? So that means usually men are very unscrupulous. Prabhupada says this, you know. Men are usually, you know, if they don't follow, if they are not cultured. So usually they are always that seeking, you know, the opportunity to exploit women. You can see in the society, it's very much true. Any opportunity, they will just look for it to exploit the women.
But then
so,
men should be prone to degradation because they are the one. I mean, why is he saying women are prone to degradation?
Yeah, because they need.
Men are already degraded.
No, see, that's why Prabhupada here clearly says both children and women, they need protection from men. If the men doesn't follow the religious principles and all, automatically, then this is what happened. They exploit the women.
So it is emphasizing on the Varnashrama, so like which mainly keeping the men in mind, and then when they are good, accordingly they will.
It's
reverse. As I mentioned, the emphasis is on women being chaste and faithful. Then automatically, you know, we'll talk about different examples how. By woman being faith and chaste, faithful, she was actually able to even, they have power to even convert or rather direct a man, husband who may be sidetracked or going in the wrong direction, she has the power to bring him back. So it's reverse. So the woman, if she is chaste and faithful, she has the power to actually even curse. She has, so some examples maybe we can talk in this context. So Gandhari, we know, right? Gandhari, she was so chaste to the Dhritarashtra, and that's why she didn't even want to, you know, open her eyes because her husband cannot see. So why should I have the ability to see? So at the end of Kurukshetra war, when she figured that all her sons are killed, so she cursed Krishna saying, okay, my family, they destroyed by fighting with each other. So I'm going to curse that your family is also going to get destroyed by fighting amongst each other. And Krishna actually, he could have, you know, done anything to override that. He could have done it. But he wanted the system which he established to rule. So he said, okay, let it be. So that's what happened. Yadus, they fought amongst each other and they got killed. So just to prove the point that, you know, to emphasize the point how chaste woman, whatever she says or does, it's going to happen.
So the other main reason is basically when the woman is very chaste, they create good samskaras in the babies. The babies born, they also have a good samskaras. So when the children born, they have good samskaras, that means the society will be good. Otherwise, if they don't have, then they start creating disturbances in society. And we'll discuss few more points in at the end of Prabhupada says that's how when society has, you know, Varna Shankara in the 48th, right? The last Jayate Varna Shankara, that's text 40, last line. So Varna Shankara is unwanted progeny. So what is unwanted progeny?
Nobody wants those children.
No, nobody wants. Basically, you know, it's before wedding or, you know, like that single parent, like that, you know, they get divorced, all those things, right? So the especially the children, they don't get affection. So what happens when the children don't get affection?
They grow up, they become...
Same thing, they become rude and, you know, all those things. So that's what current society, if you see here, that's what why a lot of shooting happens. Why people go crazy, right? Why does... Because they don't get that affection. So then they want to take revenge or whatever they have experienced, a childhood, this thing. So they want to show it on the others. So it's all logical. Whatever Arjuna is saying, it's the same thing. Irreligion. Because of irreligion, somewhere it all stopped. So it's all showing up.
According to
Chanakya Pandita, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. So the different family traditions of religious activities should always engage them. And thus, their chastity and devotion will give birth to a good population eligible for participating in the Varnashrama system. On the failure of such Varnashrama Dharma, naturally the woman becomes free to act and mix with men. And thus adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Irresponsible men also provoke adultery in society. And thus unwanted children flood the human race at the risk of war and pestilence.
So that's why, you know, Prabhupada said actually this woman liberation movement, you know, they actually, the Vedic society is built around giving protection to the woman, not, you know, as a way to dominate or make her feel inferior. It's a way to protect her. So Prabhupada said like a woman should be protected in the childhood by her father, after that by her husband marriage, and then after that by her son. When the husband passes away, son takes care of the woman. So that's the system created so that every phase of life, woman is protected. Because she is the weaker sex and she can easily be exploited, and because of her exploitation, whole degradation of society will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then he was telling about this woman liberation movement, which actually men only lead this movement, some men only drive this movement. It's a way, ultimately if you see the essence, it's a way to bring the woman out of the homes so that they have more chance to exploit them. No, you just provoke them saying, okay, you are being, you know, you are being discriminated, you know, you are not giving freedom, you are not doing this, you can also have equal rights, you can also run a country, you can also do all this, come out, you can be your equal to us. Then what? You come outside, then you are exposed. So that's if you look at, you know, black and white, that's what it is. Women liberation movement is a way to exploit women.
So
the real essence of a woman comes out when she's protected.
So I have seen, for example, my mom, right? She was always protected by my father because I have seen, right? And she is a housewife, so she always used. But she has so much control on my father. Even he goes, works outside and all. No, really, because they are chaste. No, this is my personal experience. No, because of their chastity, they have so much power to control. And the good example she gave was Gandhari, right? She was this one. And the other example... it fell. Just try to stick it on there. Otherwise it's okay. Just put it on the chair. Anyways, nobody is going to come. Yeah, just leave it. No, other example is, you know, Savitri, we hear from the scripture. Yeah, she, I think her husband passed away. I don't know, maybe because of the the age, whatever. Anyway, it's the end of the time, right? So Yamaraja took him, but because of her chastity, she took some promise from Yamaraja, if I remember. But Yamaraja has to return her husband alive.
Yeah, so basically she argued, everybody knows, she argued with Yamaraja, right? And he finally, so many things she tried to convince, and he told, no, I already took him, how can I return him back? Then she told, okay, I want a child. Okay, he said, I'll bless you that you'll have a child. Then she told, okay, I'm a chaste woman, I cannot have child with anybody else, give me back my husband. So that's how she won. And he had to give back. And another example, like, not only that age, actually, Prabhupada was telling about day-to-day recent examples which we can relate to. When Prabhupada was studying in Bombay, like there around that time, he saw on the road there was a beggar whose face was completely deformed and defaced, a man, but he was very clean and neat. And besides him was a very clean and neat wife who is proper, nothing happened to her, and she is taking care of him. So even if he had to go through such an accident, she never thought of leaving him. But she is doing a duty of, you know, because they have to get some way of livelihood. So he is taken to begging profession. So she is making him ready for that profession. So he was telling, Prabhupada was telling how chaste she is. And another incident, Prabhupada says, during their college days, Prabhupada was talking to some other friend in a room. So there was a sweeper woman. She's standing at the door, covering her face and waiting for, like, seeing. Then Prabhupada noticed that, oh, she wants to come inside to clean the room. And because we both men are there, she couldn't come. Okay, so now let's go out. Then they went out and then she came inside. The Prabhupada said, see, even though, you know, the sweeper woman who maybe so-called doesn't have money, wealth, everything, she could move two men outside the room. That is the power of her chastity. No, like she could come outright and say, oh, you go out, like that, something like that, right? But because of the shyness and chastity, she could demand this men to move out. So that's what Prabhupada is appreciating so much. And the other emphasis about chastity is, like, if a chaste wife, she's actually the power for the husband. Not only that, she can bring the husband back to the, if it is deviated, back to normal, but also she is actually the, they say, right, behind every man there is a successful man, there is a woman. It's like that. That gives a lot of power to the man. Anyway, these all Indians,
we know most.
Mostly we know and we follow. So, it's just to re-emphasize.
So, what's the, there is one more thing, practical thing pops up, right? If we say unwanted, Varna Shankara. So, what are, this current society, what is current society doing about unwanted Varna Shankara or unwanted progeny?
Foster homes, right? Foster homes are.
No, even before taking birth.
Abortion.
So that's a very, very, you know, high karmic action you are doing. It causes a lot of karma, especially abortion. Because it said that, at least if you are born outside, if you come outside, right, you protest. If somebody tries to kill you or something, you protest. But when the baby is in the womb, that doesn't have any option. They cannot even protest. So you are killing. So you are killing a unarmed or, you know, helpless living entity. So that's a very high karma, abortion. And very interesting, the survey I think they did in India. Can anybody guess how many abortions takes place in India? This is in India per year. No idea. 10 crores.
Yeah.
Per year, 10 crores.
But Prabhu, can you hold that thought? So this, I'm not condoning abortion, I'm totally against it. But you can see the practical side of it in countries like India where the population is exploding.
No. You should never. There is no excuse for abortions. According to Shastra, there is no excuse for abortion. You cannot give any excuse. It will be overruled. Other thing is, the earth can always support any number of people. And Prabhupada practically told, that time, I don't know, maybe it was 5 crores. Right now, I think it's 6 crores or something, not 6 billion or something.
Yeah,
population.
7 billion.
So, Prabhupada, that time, he was 5 billions or something. It was 1965 or 70. So, he told, Earth can support 10 times more population than what it was that time. 5 means, it can support 50 billion people.
Mm.
Earth you know, Earth is a mother. So actually what she does is, whenever we follow the religious principles, everything properly, she gives more. She is a person. Earth is a person. She is a mother. Yeah. So she gives whatever grains, everything. She is happy. She automatically produces things. So that's not an excuse for this thing, population, eye population, all those things.
So what Prabhupada recommends as natural birth control mechanism is, if everybody follows regulative principles, then according to regulative principles, Krishna Krishna also never, Krishna doesn't say, let's say marital connection is wrong. Krishna doesn't say, he says, connection with a woman within marriage is legal, and that is me, Krishna says, that's pure. But that has to be done only for creating progeny, not for enjoyment. If you do for enjoyment, then we run the risk of having a child, which you can't, you know, you can't bring it up. And then, okay, you think about, oh, what do I do? Now, abortion. But the actual way, if you follow the Vedic system, or the real way, if you have to do, then you mix with the wife or husband only for the sake of creating a child, which you want to bring it up. So that's the natural birth control mechanism, where people are inclined towards spiritual life. Their goal is to serve Krishna, so they are not, they are using marriage as a way to serve Krishna more. But not then, if whole society becomes Krishna conscious, this is automatically controlled.
Yeah, anyway, I heard this many times. Overpopulation, abortion.
Yeah.
This is not an excuse for
that's
doing abortion.
That's the most heinous crime.
No, I agree, Prabhu, completely. But what I'm saying is that, think about a place. So, my friend's wife is a doctor, and his mom was a gynecologist.
No, then don't have a child. Don't mix.
Nah, that is a completely different thing.
That's the problem. Yeah. You don't control senses. You bring up something, and then you have to face the reaction.
But then, see, no. What I'm saying is, I'm just going through. So you talk about this. I'm not disputing the point.
I'm just trying to start a discussion here.
Yeah. So when this Varna Shankara happens, right? Is it better to abort that Varna Shankara or to have that Varna Shankara? That's what I'm asking. You see what I'm asking, though, right?
So abortion is not
hold, hear my thought out. It's forming, so it's incomplete, so pardon me. So here, if you are, I am ill-equipped for a child, okay, I am ill-equipped for a child. Now I get the child and make him suffer, make the society suffer, or I abort the child, which is better?
You are perfectly right,
it's not like some people do that, right? Some people have whatever happened has happened to them, but now they are at this point. Now what?
No, that's why.
Now
even that
we should
case,
gradually,
you
know, bring people to Krishna consciousness. So naturally, it will be controlled. You don't have to use these artificial things where there is a risk of not working, and then you have a risk of pregnancy, and risk of, then you think about.
No, anyway, so for your, whatever you gave the example, for that, still you cannot use the abortion.
You cannot. Okay.
You cannot, that's a full stop actually. Prabhupada very clearly says, it's full stop. You cannot kill a, you know, unprotected and, you know, helpless kid. It's not allowed at all.
Actually, I can even shiver when I even think of it. But that's not what. But I can see why people do it. Is what I'm saying. That's all.
Yeah, of course.
In the material context, right?
Yes.
So
that's what the material world. You talk about how will you feed and the limited knowledge that they have.
Most of the time, that's the reason people give, or you know, because before marriage they get into. School kids, high school kids. The U.S. itself, forget about India. In the U.S., it's a major problem.
No, India, it's there. That's what.
No,
I was
no. Of course, India,
start,
10
right?
crore. That's what.
My friend's mother is a gynecologist. His wife is a gynecologist. She is talking about 15, 16-year-old girls that are bringing.
Yeah.
Their fathers are bringing with their heads covered, and it's like what? No.
The Guinness Book is for 12 years.
Yeah, no, it's not something that can be. But think about that fathers.
Yeah.
plight, the child's plight.
Yeah, because they cannot get married.
So quickly, I mean,
sorry.
From this topic. They refer to as O descendant of Vishnu. Like, who is Vishnu?
Krishna, right? Descendant of Vishnu. Vashneya. Krishna is Vashneya. He's in the Vishnu dynasty.
Oh, the Vishnu dynasty.
Yeah.
Actually, he wanted to emphasize the, you know, the family concept. That's why he's especially calling him a descendant of Vishnu.
Oh.
See, you belong to a certain dynasty, so do you do anything to destroy your family tradition? So why are you asking me to do? It's like the same thing.
Every time he calls him, with a reason. That's what you can see.
Oh, actually, we'll tell that verse later on where Krishna says that, you know, I am the I'm the bona fide this thing. So we'll tell that in the next verse, next class. The verse in Bhagavad Gita. Kamosmi, Krishna says. Okay, we'll continue the next verse, Madam.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll continue with the next one.
Shankaro Narakaiva Kula Jnanam Kulasya Cha Padakki Taro Yesham Lukta Pindo Dada Kriya. Shankaro Narakaiva Kula Jnanam Kulasya Cha Padakki Taro Yesham Lukta Pindo Dada Kriya.
Yeah,
an increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped.
Okay, so this is the next sequence. If unwanted population increases, it will cause hellish life for both the family and those who destroy the family tradition. That means all of us, Pandavas. And ancestors will fall down because their sacrifices will be stopped. So this unwanted population, they don't know anything. So they're not going to do Shraddh ceremony, all this things to the ancestors. So ancestors also will get affected.
Okay. According to the rules and regulations of fruitive activities, there is a need to offer periodical food and water to the forefathers.
Yeah, this is the karma kanda. Fruitive activities, karma kanda.
This offering is performed by worship of Vishnu because eating the remnants of food offered to Vishnu can deliver one from all kinds of sinful reactions. Sometimes the forefathers may be suffering from various types of sinful reactions, and sometimes some of them cannot even acquire a gross material body and are forced to remain in subtle bodies as ghosts. Thus, when remnants of prasadam, food, are offered to forefathers by descendants, the forefathers are released from ghostly or other kinds of miserable life. Such help rendered to forefathers is a family tradition. And those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals.
Yeah, so that's the point. Those who are not in devotional life are required to perform such rituals.
One who is engaged in the devotional life is not required to perform such actions. Simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita.
Devashi Bhutapta Nrinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayam Rini Nacharajan Sarvatma Yasaranam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihrutya Kartyam.
Anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of the liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So we all got license now.
Again, so emotional, right? There are various stages.
Yeah.
So how can we know, like, we are in perfect devotional service?
That's what, at least we know path in all seriousness. Prabhupada said, right? It's not pure devotees. Mm-hmm. Pure devotees is the goal, right? But he said, So whoever follows the path of devotional service in all seriousness, if you know you are sincere, of course some humble devotees, they say they are not sincere, but other people will say you are sincere. So if you are all sincere, then you are not obliged to do all these things. But of course, devotees to set example and also, you know, to bring peace in his family, sometimes they may even do this. And of course, they don't have, you know,
not compulsory.
It's not compulsory. If there is time, opportunity for them to do, but it's not like, you know, every year I go to India to do this. Depends. If there is going to be a big fight in the family, if you don't do it, then maybe, you know, to bring them closer to Krishna, you go and do it. Because that's what they understand, right? But otherwise, it's not. But we should know the essence also. We should not feel, you know, okay, I'm serving Krishna here, but at the same time, I'm doing all these things. Then you lose faith in Krishna. It should not be like that. It should be in support to serving Krishna.
So in this verse, right? So when a child is born, it comes with 6 debts already. So when it's born, that means it already has a debt on it. So do you see this one? You read that last paragraph, right?
These are the 6 people we are obliged.
So we are obliged, as taken in all seriousness, host neither duty nor obligation to.
Demigod.
So if you are not following the devotional service, if you are following a karmakanda process, when a child is born, so it's indebted to all the 6 categories. So demigods, what does demigods do? What are they responsible for?
All this water, rain,
sun, moon. Each one is a personality, right? Surya, Chandra, they are a personality. And you are using the resources. Mm-hmm. So that means you have to repay them. Then sages. What do sages do? They give the scriptures, right, for the benefit. Karmakanda
like
process, Vedas, right? To even, gradual upliftment to spiritual for spiritual platform. So we need to repay them. And general living entities. Like, what is general living entities?
Friends or everything, every living organism.
All vegetables.
So for example, cows. What does cow do? Cow give milk. So how are you repaying the cow? Dogs. They need protection and they also protect. So you need to repay them, right? Something. So they are a category. So we owe something to these people, right? And then family members, of course. They have brought us here. So you need to always take care of them. That's our responsibility. And humankind or forefathers. That's the next. Humankind means we are using
all
technology. Like we use phone. That means somebody invented. So we are indebted. We cannot say, no, I am not even connected to that person. No. Whatever you use, I am using this bag somebody manufactured. That means I am indebted. And forefathers. And of course, because of their prayers, we came here, right? They would have performed all the samskaras, everything. That's why we are here. Somebody did some pujas. That's why we are here. So, if you are not in a pure devotional service, so you need to pay all this, personalities. So, how much can you do? Right? No, it's a serious, right? Otherwise, you will get reactions for this also. So, if you take up, that's what it says. I think this is Narada Muni, I think he's saying, particularly if I remember. Somewhere I heard.
He says to Rajan, so somebody is talking to king.
So, 6 people.
Six debts, that's what it said. Yeah, 6 debts. You become debted. Yeah. So by just taking to devotional service, you don't owe anything to anybody, no kind of obligation, nothing. Because what happens? Mukunda, you are going to lotus feet of Mukunda. And what's a very popular analogy we all the time use?
What is the root?
So we are directly going to the root. So we are not concerned about the
branches.
If you eat, are you going to feed your nose something, ear something, this thing? Are you going to feed each part? No, yes. You just feed your tummy. So if tummy is satisfied, all the parts get energy or whatever that, you know, nourishment. So you don't have to worry about anything.
Another important point in the purport is about the significance of prasadam. So not only that we eat prasadam, we get benefited, but also it's so powerful that Vishnu Krishna prasadam, it can deliver the ancestors from hellish planets or even from ghostly bodies. It's so powerful. So, prasadam, basically, shraddha ceremony includes making an offering to Vishnu and offering that as a prasadam to ancestors. By eating that prasadam, if the suppose ancestors are in hellish planets or they are having ghostly bodies without having a gross body, they can get delivered. To a, so it is so powerful, prasadam. Somebody asked a question, some person who is very challenging, he was telling, okay, I am in the second floor and you bring some plate on the first floor. If unless I go down or the full plate comes up, how will I eat? So similarly, ancestors are in some planet. No, I am here, I am offering something. How are they going to take it? So there is a subtle channels of transfer. So demigods, they when we offer, they take it and through subtle channels, they take it to the ancestors.
And not just, for example, you know, your father or grandfather.
Ancestors.
It goes to ancestors. So when you do Shraddh ceremony, the demigods, like they're called Agni Devas actually. Not Agni Deva, Agni Devas. There are different personalities. So they take that prasadam, they travel to all the subtle way, right? They have a subtle way, they travel to all these different places wherever your ancestors are and they deliver it to them. And when they take the prasadam, they are delivered. So what else can us see, if you think, if you perform it nicely, that's the best thing we can do it for our fathers or grandparents and all, to deliver them. Because why, and the other thing Prabhupada mentions is ghostly bodies, right? He mentioned as ghosts. Why do people take birth as ghosts? Yes. So lot ghosts. No, people take
unfulfilled
desires. When people have, you know,
and very,
lot
very
of desires, very they committed a lot of sins and they have a lot of desires. So that time they don't get the gross body. And why do we need the gross body? For example, this body. Why do we need the gross body?
Materialistic world work out.
We can perform akarma and then go back. Or to do some devotion.
Yeah.
Materialistic world, you need gross body to,
you need
to
a
enjoy. Yeah.
So basically, body is like an instrument. Right? It's like an instrument. You have a soul. So soul has a covering, gross material body. Right? So without the body, you cannot really do anything.
You cannot really fulfill your desires.
Because the people have committed so much sins and they have so much desires, so the material nature or the karma stops them from getting
the gross body.
So they will stay as the ghosts.
So the problem is they have desires, they cannot fulfill it. So it's very, very frustrating.
So it's more suffering.
And they try to occupy the body of a person mostly affected by ignorance. Like people who are more addicted to, you know,
drugs or drinking.
They are more prone to be occupied by ghostly beings.
People mostly who are in very, you know, ignorance,
completely tamasic sleep.
So when they take a lot of drugs, drinking, all those things, when they are really weak, that's the time the ghosts occupy their body.
And through that body, they try to fulfill their desires.
That, of course, they go crazy, they become mad because of unfilled desires, right? Too many desires. So that's the time when they go mad. And they become crazy, you know, all these things.
And better than that, okay, first of all, Vishnu Prasadam offering a Shraddha ceremony to our ancestors is going to deliver them, right? So that's very good. But better than that is, if you become a pure devotee, Krishna or Vishnu or Narasimhadev takes charge of delivering 21 generations of your ancestors before and after.
So, Prahlad asked.
What did he ask? That level, right?
That's why pure devotee. If you become
you
a pure
become.
Devotee,
if you become,
then
it's a clause.
21 generations are automatically.
That level is too high, right?
Yeah.
You become like pure devotee.
You just sincerely follow. That's all. It's not, you know, just following it. Yeah, how much sincere?
Seeing the governor, we are seeing the president. We have so many rules, so many things. For seeing Krishna, shouldn't there be even some rules?
And the Shraddha that we do, right, like generally is done, it's just like a formality. Like at least that's what I noticed. Like the Pandit will do something and then we make something and then offer. So is it really delivering?
No,
no,
if you offer
properly,
like Vishnu Prasadam,
if you offer Vishnu Prasadam, yes, it should
be. Yeah, that's
why,
because
it
we
works.
Don't know the, we lost the meaning. So we do like any other Even everything we do, Satyanarayan Puja, everything we do like custom only,
yeah,
right? Who knows? All we know is if we don't, in the new house, if we don't do this, all we know is something is going to happen.
Mm.
That's what we know.
No, that even if you are not doing, if you see what the mantra says, it automatically goes to him because you start with what is called Achamanam, which is the Achyudaya Namaha, Anantaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha. Then you touch the bodies, Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, Trivikrama, Vamana, Sridhara, Rishikesha, Padmanava, Damodara, right? Then when you are offering, you first offer to your father, then your grandfather, then your great-grandfather, their wives if they are there. Then if your mother is alive, right, then her father, her grandfather and her great-grandfather, their wives. But most importantly, you are supposed to have what is called a Mahavishnu. Right? Only after serving that, all the other people get everything.
Mm-hmm.
For doing the tarpanam for your forefathers, you are supposed to do it like this. Right? For your others, you are supposed to do it straight. For Mahavishnu, you are supposed to do it straight. So everything is structured so that even if you don't even think that Krishna is there or Krishna, you both don't, it goes to him.
The mantras will act anyway.
Yeah.
So other point is, actually I have a teacher, right? He was telling, once I was telling, oh Prabhu, like my parents are not following or anything, how I can help them? Like what should I do? Then he said, don't do anything. You try to follow sincerely. You try to become pure devotee. Automatically they will be delivered. Of course, we try to help them as well. But that's the, what to say, even more easiest thing for us is we want to help our family members. The ultimate, the best help we can do our to our family members is for us to become a serious devotee.
Mm. See, we think in so many ways, right? I want to help my, you know, parents when they get old. Because one day everybody is going to leave the body. But if they are not, you know, if they don't perform the devotion service or any karmic karmakanda process properly, so they are going to accumulate a lot of sins. So that means they are going to suffer a lot in their whatever the next birth. So as a son or as a daughter, so what's the best thing you can give them? Easy, simple process, right? And of course, as you said, you know, the pujari, they recite something we may not understand. So the chances are, you know, if they don't recite properly, you know, who knows what they are doing, right?
They are actually reading.
So the chances are very, you know, you cannot trust completely. So best thing, I feel, you know, I feel very good, you know, about all this. If I do my part very sincerely, so I'm going to, you know, help all my grandfather, my father, everybody. I'm going to help. So, you know, at least it gives us impetus to, you know, take it seriously. Because otherwise we are going to get entangled in that six debts. If you don't give them back, you're going to get entangled. And
actually, coming to think about it, like they say, right, if one generation does very bad karma, their next generation always suffers also. So
yeah,
it always cascades to next generation. If bad karma also has some effect, definitely these good things also goes to different
Because it's all See, that's why we see only gross things. There is a subtle body also, which we cannot really see. So that's why it said, you know, we are currently still, we are connected to our ancestor through some kind of subtle connection. It's not that when they die, we are completely separated. No, there is some subtle connection still with our ancestor through, you know, this karmic, how it works. It's very intricate. The how that works is very intricate. All the karma, everything is very intricate. Nobody can point where it starts, where it ends. We know, we don't have that capacity. So, yeah, so we always have connection with our ancestor. Whatever we do, it affects them, or, you know, it's like
that. It can be very complex, right? It means every birth.
Very complex.
Every birth, you are adding one more.
So many births. Yeah, you're so many births you are taking.
If you are united right now, you're like X family, in the next birth, you're in Y. So your ex ancestors are also dead to you, and now you're Y.
Yes, Y. So that's why Narasimha Dev, you know, he says 21 generation. Of course, I don't know exactly when, but he says, you know, you are something. I heard
this life 21 generation.
This life generation 21 generation. Your previous life 21 generation, like that. It's
like 11 times. Like,
of course, compared to your eternal this thing nature, this is all like flash. Each life is just like a flash. because our time span is very short.
I wish I was a descendant of Prabhupada.
It's a narration. Descendant of Prabhupada.
Yeah. So hopefully next class we'll complete the chapter. Then we can think about other things.
Yeah, strut ceremony is, yeah, it's very scientific and...
Mm-hmm.